Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's behind the glass as well. It's a Monday edition of the program. Happy to have you all with us. Hope everybody had a great weekend. You had a good weekend, Joe.
Hope you had a good weekend, Jeremy.
Hope you had a good weekend, Brian.
Hope you had a good weekend, Jeremy.
Hope Wyatt had a good weekend. Hope the Junkies had a fabulous weekend as well. Hope Hannon had a good weekend. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Brazil had a great today.
Yeah, they
Brazil
did.
Is advancing round of 16. They joined the Canadians in the round of 16.
Fun game so far.
Fun games.
I don't understand why we only had one game yesterday, but it was fun.
Standalone game for Canada.
They're that important?
Yeah. They're one of the host countries.
Yeah, they can't even play in their host country.
That wasn't in Canada?
No.
Last night wasn't?
No.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I mean, you could still have a standalone game and a second game, right? They could both be standalone.
They're coming to America.
They're coming to Houston.
For the round. That's what I meant. I don't know why I said America.
I don't either. But
yeah, they're coming to Houston for the round
well,
of 16.
Well, it's like real America.
Probably to take on the Netherlands.
Nice.
And then from Houston earlier today, Brazil came from behind.
Yeah, they did.
Won 2-1 over the Japanese.
It was fun. It was a fun game.
Sean, I had the money line on that.
Sean, I had the money line.
I had the over 2.5.
Sean had the over, so we were watching it in the producer's studio, and yeah. There was a big pop when that goal hit.
2-0. 2-0 for the start of Jeremino's day. Sweat of the day. Those weren't sweat of the days because they weren't during the show. But we do have a couple of sweats of the day. If you want to join us, if you want to fade us, you choose. Last week, we won almost 4.5 units, and on the year, we're up just over 3.25 of a unit. So that's us doing pretty good. We're on Germany minus 300 today.
Ooh.
Putting a unit up for a third of a unit. That's what we're doing today because we're confident in the Germans. And we're also on the German Paraguay over 2.5, which we're putting a unit up for 0.7 of a unit.
All right.
We'll see how we fare.
We'll see how we fare.
See how we fare. We'll get to some texts and stuff a little bit later. NBA stuff starting to heat up.
Yeah, there's a lot of NBA stuff going on. Yeah. A lot of rumors.
Rockets are in the news. Fred VanVleet's picking up his player options. People think that it means that they're going to trade him. The Rockets they picked up the player option of J.D. Davison, and now they think they're going to trade Fred VanVleet. It's the weirdest thing.
I saw you interact with some of those people on Twitter.
It's just kind of weird. They drafted a point guard, who I don't think is a point guard, at 31. They're rumored, not even done, they're rumored to get smart. They're picking up the player option for J.D. Davison, and that automatically means Fred VanVleet's being traded?
No.
I think it's a massive reach.
I think it's a huge reach.
It's some fear-mongering going on.
Because I think I saw you point this out on Twitter. Then why did he opt in?
Right.
Unless he really thinks that like he's willing to just go wherever the Rockets are sending him and he wanted the bag with it. And he knew he wouldn't get $25 million on the market.
I'm not so sure that he wouldn't.
That's what I'm thinking,
too. I don't know. Like, no one knows. You know how we're not going to know? Because he's not on the market. We're never going to know if Fred VanVleet this offseason could have got 25.5. But I see some of these free agent contracts. They're insane. Like, there's dudes that go for 30, 35 million. Like, how?
Because it's the NBA?
How does that guy get $30, $35 million?
It feels like everyone gets paid in this league.
And I get that Fred VanVleet's coming off knee surgery. Like, I get that. People, I think, are overreacting to the, I tore both meniscus. Like, people tear their menisci. Not always at the same time, but people tear their menisci. I don't know. But we're not going to find out because he opted in to the 25, whatever it is. We'll talk to Will Davis a little bit later. Houston Cougar baseball coach. We'll talk to him at 3:45. You know what he's doing tonight? He's throwing out the first pitch, the Houston Astros game.
Hopefully it goes well.
So he's doing the media rounds. He's a former catcher.
I feel like the pressure is pretty high.
I mean,
you're a former catcher, you're a college baseball coach. It's got to go across the plate.
While the pressure is high, I don't think it's very difficult for a former baseball player to throw the ball 50 feet to the plate.
I don't think so either.
You know what I'm about to get? You know what I'm about to get because I just said 50 feet? Yeah. You know what people are about to text in? The mound 60 feet, 6 inches, you moron. That's what I'm about to hear.
Yeah.
But here is where this was a chess move and not a checkers move. Baseball people know better than to go to the mound. If you go to the mound, it shows me that you're a noob and know nothing about baseball.
Yeah, you don't know ball.
You don't go to the mound. You don't mess with the pitcher's mound. So we're about to 66, you idiot. You don't know ball. Chessmate, I actually do know ball because true ball players don't go to the mound and mess with the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, you just said chessmate.
Yeah, I did. I haven't played chess in a while.
I want to point that out. There you go. It's wrong.
I challenge you to a match of chess.
Pass.
You know how to play?
No.
I'll play.
I know how to play. Brian seems like he'd be pretty good at chess.
You call me a nerd?
Yes.
Yeah, I call you a nerd.
I do have
pretty
the chess
daily.
App on my phone.
He was laughing at us.
I do have the chess app on my phone.
I walked into the studio today. He's just got this big ass smirk on his face.
Y'all
little chuckle.
That conversation was.
We're talking
nerd-tastic.
About college football. The new game's coming out. We're excited.
You walked into the. Here, can I say what you said?
Of course.
Joe walks into the production room where Brian and Mapes are at. And Joe asks Sean, you're going to be on vacation on July 13th, I think was the day that you said? Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And then you asked him if he was taking his PlayStation because that was the week the Dynasty was supposed to begin.
Because
that was insane to me.
He's done it before. He's done it before.
It was just a weird way to get to, are we going to be able to start our Dynasty on time?
That was, the original.
You taking vacation July 13th when in your mind the answer you were seeking was, are we going to be able to start our Dynasty?
It was a work question first. Yeah. Well, he took off 4 of the 5 days a week. I want to make sure he didn't make a mistake.
Okay.
It's happened before.
All right. You taking your PlayStation to vacay?
He's not. Spoiler alert.
No one cares.
We care. You brought it
Joe
up.
And I care.
I didn't bring it up.
Oh, yeah. I did.
I didn't bring it up. I didn't think it was suitable for air.
Well, it's been aired.
I didn't want to out y'all's nerdiness.
We've talked about all
that. It's out there already.
That is true. We'll get to tip the cap because we tipped the cap on a Monday. All the things that are going on around sports. We'll see if we get to this. We might have to save it for tomorrow. We'll see. But Phil Mickelson allegations are out there.
Yeah.
I've reached out to the author, but he might be too big time for the show. And then also Quincy Avery coming to C.J. Stroud's defense. We'll get to that at some point this week. Maybe today. We'll see. Sometimes, though, we just kind of, ADHD. Sometimes you just let the show take us where the show takes us.
We got other things to get to.
It's like a tide in the ocean, right? You just kind of go with the tide.
Sure.
It's kind of what we do on this program. But we do start with the Astros good this Monday. We always start with the good, bad, and the ugly.
Chase the fight.
Very much so. The Astros have now won not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 straight series. Break up the Houston Astros. The dynasty is back. The juggernaut of the Houston Astros are back again.
I don't know. I want to start with for the good, but we already talked about it, so it's a little weird.
Which one?
Imai. Just going to go back to that. I know we talked about it on Friday, but it was 4-game series, so I want to make sure we mention it again.
Nah, not usually. That usually wouldn't fly, but I mean, Imai was awesome.
Yeah, I just didn't know. I this was the first time I've done the good, bad, ugly with you, and there's been a 4-game series.
Yeah, usually we just talk about the games that
we had over the weekend.
Okay. Jameis Winston was in Houston today?
He's all over the place.
He's a World Cup correspondent.
Yeah, the Astrodome's right behind him. That's cool. I saw the Brazilians over at the water wall earlier this morning. That would have been cool to go to, just down the road from us. Jameis is sweating.
Yeah,
he doesn't like
out.
The Houston humidity.
It's hot out
Look
there,
at
man.
Him. He broke a sweat.
He's got a wristband on. It's great. Yeah. He's so funny.
He is. He's hilarious.
They'll all go Isak Paredes.
Okay, Isak's been really, really good.
Yeah, just he's rolling, like big hits, clutch moments. Needed him big time over this weekend to win this series, so Isak Paredes.
That game-tying home run?
Yeah.
That was awesome. Who's yelling out there? Game time home run yesterday.
So he was my first one, and then Christian Walker. It's been a grind.
You don't want to peel back the onion here. You don't want to have a conversation about Isak.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I feel like it's a little disrespectful to Isak.
Sorry, Isak.
My good's Isak, and now let's quickly change the tide to the Gringo. That's kind of messed up.
No,
like I'm getting Isak my love. I'll let him go first, but now let's talk about Walker.
It's a little culturally insensitive, Joe.
Talk about Isak.
Yeah, let's talk about Isak for a second.
Also had the go-ahead hit on Saturday.
Isak's been very good for the Astros.
Yeah, he's been his. I haven't looked at his splits in a couple of days, but his splits over June have been pretty good.
Yeah,
he's turning up.
The lineup change has worked. It was Joe Spada pulled the trigger at the right time to flip those guys. Like I think that's one of the things that is like he deserves a lot of credit for where the Astros are at is making that switch there. Is putting Isak. Flipping that spot in the order, I think, has helped this team out a lot with the way that Walker has been scuffling.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might have waited too long.
You think he waited too long?
He might have waited too long. And he also waited for Walker to have an off day before he did it. I don't know if I can get a spot of credit for flip-flopping the two. People were banging the table for him to flip-flop it for like a week and a half.
Yeah, but see, I feel like that's a reasonable amount of time for a baseball team, to be honest. Like, we don't see lineups flip that drastically because the guy's scuffling for a little bit of time. Now, I know Walker wasn't particularly good last month, and he hasn't been particularly good this month so far, outside the last 2 days. But, I'm not surprised it took Joe as much time as it did to flip them.
Yeah, I can listen to that part, but I don't know if I can give him credit for finally flip-flopping it. Like, I don't think that he was like on the cutting edge. Like, no. I feel like he almost wait. I think like if there's a range of like if there's a window of time of when was the appropriate time to flip flop them, I think he was much closer to the end of that window.
Okay, I think
so. I can't give the manager credit for that.
Yeah, I also I think there's a lot of managers who just wouldn't do it. Like, it seems like they're just stuck with their lineups. So no, I don't think Joe Espada has rolled out the same lineup more than like twice this season.
No, he's had a unique lineup almost every game.
Yeah, I think honestly it still might be every single game unless that changed over the weekend because it was a unique lineup every game going into the Tigers series.
That's what cracks me up about the offseason dialogue of like, oh, here's the everyday lineup. Bro, there's no such thing. Like, I get that it used to be that way. Mm-hmm. I get that back in the 90s and prior to that, that managers, here's my right-handed lineup, here's my left-handed lineup, and this is what we're going to do every single game. That's not modern baseball. No. They have a different lineup every single game. There's no such thing as an everyday lineup. It's why the whole untenable thing was so hilarious to me. Like, here's the Astros' everyday lineup. How are they ever going to play all of these guys? Because it's 2026 and they're going to have 150 unique lineups. Oh, yeah, and there are injuries.
Yeah.
Like, that which I don't want to get on that, you know, I don't want to beat that dead horse again. It's just so ridiculous, and it fires me up every time I think about it.
We got all offseason to go back to the untenableness.
Yeah, which he's on a new untenableness, which this one I actually agree with a little bit. It's the pitching staff surplus.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I've been on it for 2 weeks. Anyways, Isak in his last 101 plate appearances. I like to look at last 100 plate appearances. That's why I went with that number. His last 101 plate appearances, .313 batting average. For your favorite Mexican, no offense taken, a .406 on base,
and I'm Mexican,
and a .566 slugging.
That's pretty good, Jared.
His OPS is .972. That's, and you know me,
pretty damn good.
I'm down with OPS. That's really good.
Yeah.
So Christian Walker, Isak Paredes, more likely to be the Astros' 2027 first baseman next year.
I think it's still Walker.
Okay. Personally, if I were a general manager. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I should be. I was looking at my old Sonny Gray tweets today. I look like a genius. But if it were me, I'd try to clear out that $20 million. Why are you laughing, Brian?
Why are you going back to look at your Sonny Gray tweets?
He almost threw a no-hitter last night.
He had he's in the news. Brian.
No, I know, but why are you
video
searching
games
out
and
your
watch
old,
a little Sunday Night Baseball.
But why are you searching out your old tweets on it?
Because I remember tweeting about Sonny Gray and how it'd be a good pickup, so I wanted to remember what I said. Because, like Joe said, he was in the news yesterday, put down the sticks.
I understand that. That's not the part that's weird to me.
And then I was looking at my – you know how I do my every Monday, I look at Baseball Savant and Pro Baseball Reference?
Yes.
Well, I looked at Pro Baseball Reference today, and the – you know who's tied for the American League lead in wins?
Guessing Sonny Gray?
Sonny Gray. So whenever I saw that, I'm like, I wonder exactly what I said about Sonny Gray whenever I wanted the Astros to pick up Sonny Gray. And what I said about Sonny Gray was I quote tweeted how Sonny Gray is going to be a free agent, and I said, he's not my top pitcher, but you can do a lot worse than Sonny Gray.
You remember who?
So hit me with a drop. Boom, Jeremy Branham.
Depends on who you was your top pitcher.
It was Kikuchi, but that was because he was an Astro. I don't think Kikuchi's been great this year. I haven't looked up his numbers.
I have no idea.
But Sonny Gray's nails, man.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Great. I mean, it's a guy that if they're going to add starting pitching at the deadline, they should go after now.
I know.
Which is complicated.
I don't know if the Red Sox will be interested in him, but I like Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray, he's good. I actually watched a little bit of the Sunday Night Baseball game last night.
I did too.
Accidentally.
I had the under, so I was watching it.
Oh, did you? I was watching the Travelers, and whenever it went final, the Travelers, actually when it got suspended due to darkness, they switched over to the Red Sox-Yankees. Roger Clemens was on the call.
Really?
You watched the game.
I guess I realized it was Roger.
You didn't even challenge. You didn't even throw a BS flag.
I didn't remember seeing the booth last night.
I just heard his voice. I don't have to see it. Oh, I know what Roger sounds like. Did you misremember what he sounded like?
Yeah.
Nice call back.
Roger talk.
I can't believe you don't know the voices of Roger Clemens.
Sorry, I know Rizzo was on it last night.
Mm-hmm. He was in the dugout. He almost got hit by the foul ball.
That's tough.
I don't know if he watched the game.
I don't think
he
watched it.
I was like,
did you watch it on mute?
Locked in.
Was it on the laptop while you're watching something on the big TV?
I was watching Monarch.
There you go.
So
what's Monarch?
It's a Godzilla show.
Oh gosh.
You told me to use
713.
You told me to use my Apple TV. I'm using my Apple TV.
We got to go to break. 713, because you just said what you just said. 713. Oh, I remember what I was going to say whenever I started talking about my greatness as a general manager. I would try to get out of the Walker contract.
I would too. I just, the way he's playing right now, that feels like it's going to be
I don't mean at the deadline.
Oh, okay.
I mean in the offseason. Like, if you could trade Walker for, it doesn't even matter. Like, I'm not trying to trade him to, like, get this great prospect package.
Get rid of him so Paredes can play first.
And to open up $20 million. Because now you can use that $20 million on a position of need.
Yes. My counter to that would just be, it might just be easier if he starts trending in the right direction again to trade him now.
I don't want to do that because you're in a playoff race. I don't want to take away from the team.
No, that makes sense.
No, I'm not doing it at the deadline. I'm not selling any pieces at the deadline. I would look to get out of the Christian Walker contract in the offseason.
So Paredes can be your everyday.
So yeah, and I'm also looking to extend Paredes on a 3-4 year deal.
Yeah,
It would almost take both of those things. Isak, are you willing to do a 3-4 year deal? If you are, okay, we're probably trading Walker. If you're not, then I probably just ride it out.
I don't know why he wouldn't be.
He thinks he's a year away from free agency. Thinks he can make more.
Yeah, I don't know what his market's gonna look like.
I think he'll be fine
because he's
a good hitter.
Yeah, but he has zero career opposite field home runs. Does it work in every ballpark?
I mean, home run in Detroit was pretty far. That wasn't at the dike, was it?
Yeah,
the Astros were out of town this weekend when he hit that home run?
Yes, but I just wonder how many teams would look at their ballpark and say Isak's not a fit for the dimensions.
I mean, his numbers wouldn't be what they would be in Houston or in Fenway, but he's still a good hitter. Is his plate discipline going to disappear if he signs with the White Sox?
No, but we saw what it was like in Wrigley, how bad it was.
Yeah, but everybody hates that place.
Fair.
That's the armpit of the earth, Wrigley Field. That's what I hear them say all the time.
That's rude.
It's the armpit of the earth, and then look at that mole, Steve Bartman.
Yeah.
The little skin tag, Steve Bartman, in the armpit of the world, Wrigley Field.
That's so mean.
That's just what I hear.
That might be the meanest thing you've ever said about someone.
Or that calling him a skin tag?
That you heard about someone. Yeah, that's pretty rough, man.
That's pretty rough, Jim.
Calling him a skin tag?
If you called me a skin tag, I'd be very offended.
Yeah, do you feel like Chicago people probably feel like Bartman's a skin tag?
I don't think I've ever heard anyone be called that before, so I don't know.
He's been called worse than that in Chicago. They think that little skin tag cost him a World Series.
Yeah, stop that. This is weird. I don't like the skin tag.
What can I say?
Who else is a skin tag?
I only can think of one.
Okay.
All right, 713-780-3776. Joe's got more good. I think his first one is going to be a gringo. We have more good as well.
And I'm Mexico.
We'll get to Will Davis at 345. What's going on at the World Cup? We'll discuss that a little bit later and tip our cap to the greatness that was the weekend in sports. We'll get to the Rockets, too. Free agency. This is free agent week. Free agent week goes nuts. All right, 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. You can watch along. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Careful though. YouTube at ESPN Houston.
In his
not the YouTubers.
Living in his mother's
the Twitchers.
Basement.
Want to be clear. Skin tags, some of them. Also, what else? Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sag by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN975.
When the world's biggest tournament is hosted on your turf, you've got to do it big. And lucky for you, Twin Peaks is built for big games. At the Lodge, it's 29 degrees or nothing. Stay refreshed for the full 90 minutes as Twin Peaks girls keep the rounds coming. From ice cold 29-degree drafts of Michelob Ultra to the iconic handcrafted spicy margaritas made with Casamigos. There's something that'll score with every fan all tournament long. Pair all of that with a menu that's entirely made from scratch, and you've got everything you need to stay fueled for every match. We're talking hand-tossed wings in your choice of 12 sauces and dry rubs, seared-to-order burgers, and shareables that beat the brakes off of bar food. Get to the Lodge where every seat puts you in the front row and every second is packed with scenic views. Twin Peaks is truly unmatched for every match. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jasper question, raising hand emoji. What exactly about a person identifies them as a skin tag? You know, annoying. You're ashamed of them. You don't want them to identify with you or your fan base? I think it's pretty obvious, right?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Pete, ain't nothing like the hometown Astros being one game out of first place with a record of 42-44. I love baseball. So, Christian Walker, you're ready to get right through Isak to talk about Christian Walker's good.
Sorry, yeah. Four hits one day. Big blast yesterday.
Days off are important.
It's been forever since he had an RBI.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
And
2 weeks.
Kenley Jansen, he must hate the Astros.
I literally tweeted that, Joe. My exact words.
I didn't see your tweet.
BS flag.
I saw your tweet from today, but I didn't see that one. I don't think I did.
What do you, Joe?
Was it word for word?
Joe Judge. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know,
that's
Joe.
That's not fair. I didn't see it.
I don't know.
When'd you tweet it out?
Last night, whenever he was getting rocked. I literally, 23 hours ago, at 3:52 on June 28, 2026, 23,400 views. Is Joe George one of the 23K?
I don't think so.
Kenley Jansen must hate the Astros.
I don't have any interaction.
Signed at Jeremy Branham.
Normally, I like to bookmark your tweets that I know they're going to get brought up the next day. So
why would you bookmark this one?
I don't know.
Does have 11 bookmarks. Is Joe one of the 11 bookmarks?
I'm not. You can see it right there. No bookmark. All right, now it's your turn to talk about Christian Walker.
Mm.
Not a skin tag.
Good week. I would try to trade his contract in the offseason. But I wouldn't trade him this year. He's too beneficial to the Astros. He helps the Astros a lot. Whenever I say trade him in the offseason, the Astros are getting Correa back. Correa was really good. Now he is injury prone. I get it. But, it's untenable with all those infielders. You want to get rid of one of them so you can spend the money elsewhere.
Yeah, but what if he gets hurt again, Correa?
Which is likely.
Yeah. So then it's not as untenable.
No. But it's more about, but you'd also be able to repurpose the $20 million.
In theory, yeah.
If I'm general manager, I'm repurposing the $20 million.
Yeah. You would hope they would.
If I'm the general manager, I'm repurposing the $20 million.
If you're the GM, yeah.
Yeah. And you would hope they would. You hope they just wouldn't salary dump $20 million and then not repurpose it. That would be awful. That would be bad general managing.
Would you be willing to eat some of it that way?
Okay. No,
they kind of, not at that scale, but they did that twice this offseason with Dubon and with Jesus Sanchez.
Right, but they are also up against the CBT.
Yeah.
There's fair $10 million, which is, I don't need you to spend every dollar under the CBT. I don't mind if you have a little bit of wiggle room so for the deadline. I hate that they go into the season we don't have a left fielder, but that's okay. We'll get one at the deadline. I don't like that approach. I want a complete team at opening day. And then if you have injuries, then that's whenever you're just
adding to your team. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate, they go into every season with major holes. It's like, okay, this is cool. Glad you really spent the entire offseason with two major holes on your roster. I hate that.
They just don't fill them.
Yeah. We'll worry about it in July. Why wouldn't you worry about it now?
I don't know. It makes no sense to do it that way.
I know. It drives me crazy with Dana.
But then he's been talking about a left-handed hitting left fielder for 3 years.
Well, he got one last deadline.
It's true, he did, and then he got rid of him in the offseason. Mm-hmm. So he had one for 2 months.
And he was no good.
Yeah.
He's been good against every other place, but his 2 months with the Astros were atrocious. And he's an atrocious defender, and he's an atrocious base runner. But no, you're right on Walker. Walker's really good. You need him to get back on track for this offense to be as good as this offense can be.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice to see. What other goods you got?
I put Oker, King, and Hader.
Yeah.
This is kind of a clump for my last one. Hader, obviously all the walks yesterday, but able to get out of it and get the Astros into extra innings. Oker and King were both very good over the weekend. That part of the bullpen has become it's super reliable at this point. They're all very clearly guys you can trust in pretty much any situation. So Hader, back-to-back days again, positive. Yes, it got stressful, but able to get out of it without allowing the damage to lose that game. So I just put all three of them together.
Valid. The bullpen's been very good. The bullpen's been very, very good. I like... I really like Okert. I want Okert back.
I second Okert. Yeah. Okert over Abreu. Not even a question anymore.
Oh, no. No one's bringing back Abreu. Is that clear? You're good?
It does.
Okay. Brian, what goods you got?
I listed Jeremy Pena. Hits in every game. 7 hits overall for the series. I thought he was really good. You guys ran through most of them. The only other one I have besides Pena was Delgado. Who
is this Pena guy?
JP3. But Delgado getting his first major league extra base hit with the home run that clawed him back into it yesterday was pretty awesome.
And he got rewarded with being sent to Sugarland.
Yeah, well, that's the life of a fringe player.
That's what the Astros do with these heroes don't wear capes, guys. Remember Logan Van Wy? Whenever he had that 2 innings of great baseball and relief, Astros won an extra inning game. I want to say it was in Toronto, wasn't it? And then he got sent down the next day. That's what the Astros do to these heroes.
He can go tell the story to his new teammates at Sugar Land.
He can be like, what's that minor league movie? Bull Durham. He's going to be in the back of the bus. He's like, bring it in, Ethan Pecco. Let me tell you about that home run I hit in Detroit.
The sun was beaming down that day, gentlemen.
Yeah. And now Nick the Stick is back.
Let me tell you about my 2 weeks in the show. Come here, Pecco.
I like Delgado.
He also had that massive error.
Yeah, that was going to be my bad, but yeah. You know,
he's all right.
It allowed a run.
They got him for a guy they were going to release, Jaden Murray. Actually, no, Murray was just the Chicago guy.
Yeah.
I forget what they traded for Delgado. I don't know if maybe it was just cash.
I think he was a claim, I thought.
No, I think they traded for him. It might have been cash considerations, but whatever. He's a fine guy to have in the organization. He's got options. Options are important. Nick Allen goes down again. Raynel Delgado comes up. That was shrewd pickup by Dana. It's minuscule, but it's shrewd. It helped you.
He's great at those.
Yeah, he is. He's really good at picking up 4A baseball players. It was good.
Yeah,
it was good. I mean, got a big home run. You know, kind of changed the tide of that game. I already knew I was going to tweet. The Astros get shut out. They lose 3-0. Sunday Astros. That's what I was going to. Get away Astros. That's what I was going to tweet.
They got the dub.
But they won. They came from behind.
You're right. He got traded for cash in Tampa.
Yeah, usually am. Good two come from behind wins.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Two come from behind wins. Always nice to have those. 5 straight series wins. I had Raynel Delgado as well, overcoming some adversity. Because I like when people face adversity and then overcome that adversity. Big fan of that. I like it when people have to face adversity.
Why are you smirking as you said that?
Because Joe said that with Emi.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, right.
Okay, I've been right.
Yeah, so you had a little bit of adversity.
Joe's been right.
Raynel Delgado stared the face of adversity and overcame that adversity.
He did.
So I'm really happy about that. Really happy for him. Really happy about that. Christian Walker I had listed there. And then the other one I wanted to list, and I know Yiner was 0-for yesterday, but Yiner Diaz had another 2-hit game on Saturday against the Tigers. And Yiner Diaz, since his return, guys, hitting a respectful 265, a respectful 306. He's actually walked twice in a respectful 412 slug. Is he the defensive guy that Vasquez is? No. Does he lengthen this lineup?
Yes.
He lengthens this lineup. So hopefully Yiner continues to swing a decent bat and help extend this lineup a little bit.
Yeah, I think yesterday was one of his 2 games since he's come back without having a hit. Like he's producing a little bit each day. So I definitely it's definitely a 4-2 thing now.
At least
with Yiner getting 4 days, Vasquez getting 2 at this point.
I think it's a fine split.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be. I thought, I just didn't believe the bat was going to come back, but it looks like it's starting to get there. A little bit. I think now we're just waiting to see if the pop comes back.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. You're good, you're bad, you're ugly. Junkie saying Branham is the junkie. Exact definition of a skin tag. That's not nice. That's not a very nice thing to say. Another junkie Mike Fires is the ultimate skin tag. Great call.
That's a good pull.
It's a really good call. Who are the ultimate skin tags? 713-780-3776. You're good, bad, uglies. We'll get to our bads because you don't ignore in victory what you would in defeat. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than getting it the old-fashioned way. You don't have to spend hours and hours at a dealership anymore. You can lease your vehicle through D&M Leasing when you give them a call at 713-290-1000 or visit them at dmautoleasing.com. On that website, you can see their full list of inventory. You'll do DocuSign. You'll be working with a leasing agent who will walk you through everything from start to finish. And when it comes time, they'll even bring you that brand new lease vehicle right to your house. You don't have to worry about negative equity anymore either. Get a new car, trade that thing out in 3 years, and just save yourself a lot of time and money. If you qualify, you can get payments for as low as $400 as well. So give them that call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
John Moran just got traded for Portland Trailblazers for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray.
I hate that thing so much.
It ruins all breaking news for me.
I think it's
cannot stand it.
And not because it annoys you so much. Keep it forever.
This is also something that I screwed up. I never let people see me sweat.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens whenever people see you sweat. Mm-hmm. Which I would do the same thing. It's just, so I respect the play. I just hate it.
What an interesting roster they have now.
Yeah, they're very interesting.
So you have Scoot Henderson. I think Drew Holiday's still under contract. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard's going to play this year. And now you have Ja Morant?
They fired Tiago Splitter. They didn't fire him. They let him go.
On one team?
I know. It's weird.
That doesn't make any sense.
5-point guard lineup.
What are they doing?
Rockets didn't have one last year. Trailblazers are going to have 5.
Would you call that roster untenable?
Yes.
Untenable roster. What do you think of the German jerseys? I know you have opinions about what they wear.
Yeah, I don't like it.
What? That's Asian.
I thought you were going to trick me there.
The Germans are wearing the white. They have their flag.
They're great.
Okay. I don't know why you said you didn't like
them. Well, I just looked up and I saw the Paraguay jerseys. I thought maybe those were the German jerseys.
No. It wasn't a trick question. It was just they were wearing the more traditional kits.
They look great.
Junkie says Correa was wasted space. They were thinking Isak would be out longer. Knee jerk. It's actually a hamstring for Isak, not a knee. Correa was having a good year.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're unhappy that they traded for Correa. They traded nothing for Carlos Correa. Minnesota's picking up almost, well, not all of his contract, but a lot of his contract. And Correa was really good prior to getting hurt this year. Like, I don't know why you're anti-Carlos Correa. Also, you misspelled Correa. He spelled it C-O-R-E-A.
That's challenging to do.
Yeah, don't bang Correa unless you know how to spell his name, man. She said they should have kept Dubon. I'm not. That's fine. That's a fine take. I have nothing wrong with that take. Kendrick Perkins is my skin tags as a junkie. Key from L.A. says Jordan is the bad, batting 200 in the last 2 weeks. Key from L.A. hates Jordan because he's an Angel fan, and Jordan's getting all the love that he thinks Mike Trout deserves.
Fact.
Scott Foster, ultimate skin tag. Could have kept Dubon. I have no problem with that take. I have no problem with could have kept Dubon, but you didn't have
Dubon.
To.
Dubon.
You could have kept Dubon without the Correa trade's insignificant to me. Yeah, because Dubon can literally play outfield.
Yeah, Dubon was about just saving money.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah, like they should have kept Dubon. I agree. And it's not because like Dubon's so much greater than Nick Allen. It's more because he gives you outfield flexibility and they could really use outfield offense this year.
Yeah, and frankly, I think too, like if they go down the path of what you want them to do with Walker not being here, it would have been nice to have Dubon next year if that were to happen, to have that depth in case Correa were to go down or something like that. But
no, Dubon is a free agent at the end of the year.
They could have extended him.
I doubt they would.
He's not going to make that much money.
I mean, he's making six something now, and they literally traded him to save a few bucks.
Like, no, if they just would have kept him, they could have extended him. But they went cheap.
70 says that BMAC is my skin tag on the Twitch. All right, what badge do you have, Joe?
Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, me too.
Stinks, man.
Trash.
He's terrible.
Like,
he's a bad pitcher.
ERA in June now 9 in 5 starts.
That's not good.
No.
Is there a regression? Like, is there a regression to the mean here?
Yes, right. Joe, that's exactly what happened.
No, in between of what it's been already, where it was so good and now it's so bad, like, does he find that middle ground again?
Hopefully.
No, do you think he can?
Yeah, I think he can.
Because I don't.
You think he's just a 9 ERA pitcher?
What do you think he is?
I think he's bad.
I think he'll be a 4-ish ERA guy.
I don't know. Like, this is, it looks non-competitive.
Well, it's the difference between throwing strikes and not throwing strikes.
Yeah, like, what, 5 walks in that game?
Because the walks thing was a problem before when he was pitching really well. It just, he wasn't letting the big damage come after that. He's not able to avoid it right now.
No, he's getting himself in trouble. He's been pitching a lot of hitters counts and they've been abusing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that this is Arrighetti though. Like, he's going to have outings like this. He's going to have outings like he had in May. Now, what's weird is that he had outings, all the good ones came in May and all the bad ones came in June.
It's so strange.
It's weird. And like, I do think he's in jeopardy of being sent down.
Absolutely is.
Like, the Astros are going to have some pitchers coming back. They might want him. Okay, like, we believe in you, but like, you need some work right now. You need to work on what you were doing in May. So like, why don't you go tinker with that in Sugarland instead of the big league level, so you're not killing us in games? So I do think that he's in jeopardy. And plus, a lot of the Astro pitchers don't have options. He does.
Yeah.
So like, it kind of makes it easy for them to do that, kind of like what they did with Dung. You didn't think that Dung would be sent down based on how he was pitching, but because he has options, they want to limit his workload. All right, you go down, take a little bit of a breather. Take a refresher, which I don't disagree with. I think it's the right thing to do.
No, I think that was the right call.
So it could happen with Arrighetti.
That's what I mean. He's making the conversation pretty simple, I think. When they announced Javier's coming back this week, that Spencer Arrighetti's going down.
Could very well be.
Like, and if for some reason it's not this week, then it would be when McCullers would come back. But I would just assume it's this week that he goes back down. And especially if they view it as if it's like a mechanical thing where he's just got off just a little bit.
Yeah.
That he can fix it, as you said, fix that in Sugarland where you're not hurting a team that's trying to make the playoffs now and win the division.
Yeah, you a tinker in the minors. No, I think it's in play. He has been pitching poorly. I wonder how many times a team has optioned down a pitcher of the month from that same season.
That's a great.
It point. Might be like a record too. With it, like it might have happened before,
but
it might
time.
Be a record in like the gap in the calendar. Like it might be the quickest send out after a pitcher won league honors.
Yeah.
In the history of baseball, it has to be close. If it happens,
I would bet it's very few. Like, if it's happened.
Well, just think about the gap.
It'd be the second month away. It'd be 2 months away. If you get sent down in July and you won it in May, then the only way that to break the record would be it literally happened the next month, which that seems like it'd be far-fetched.
From sub one ERA to nine.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if a guy had, you know, fewer amount of starts, that would be possible where you could see that. But with each month having five starts, it's just insane for that drop-off.
I do think he's going to bounce back. I don't know if he's going to be like who he was in May, but I think he can pitch like a 4 ERA. I think he can help this team.
Yeah.
But he's searching right now. He's searching right now. The command's the biggest thing for me.
I mean, there's no way it's happened in the last 2 years.
I think it'd be a record.
Just looking at the names who have won Pitcher of the Month, I can guarantee. Like, there's only one name on this list in the last 2 years I don't know.
Who's that?
Bowden Francis?
Oh, he was a Blue Jay.
Yeah.
I think it's Bowden.
Who the Bowden? F*** is that guy?
I think he might have gotten hurt since.
Yeah, so maybe he wouldn't even qualify.
No, he would qualify.
Well, I guess like,
but it wouldn't
down.
Be it wouldn't be an option.
Yeah,
that'd be placed on the injury list. There's a different transaction. Yeah, yeah, that's that was crazy. All right, who else you got?
Well, Dung.
Yeah,
stinks.
Yeah,
another guy.
His baseball savant's not that good. Kaiway Dung, by the way.
I think that, like you said, that was the right decision for the Astros.
Yeah, I think he can help him in the bullpen, but I don't think he's a starter, a good starter at least. He might be like capable of starting games and getting you 3 or 4 innings, but he's not like a legitimate starter.
He's a good guy to send down, get him right, and then have him back on the roster in your bullpen, assuming it does go well again, and then having him there in case of emergency.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to have someone that you need a spot start just to get you 2 or 3 innings, maybe he can do that. But like as a starter, I don't need to see it again.
Junkie says Lance missed a show once for a skin tag removal. That's incredibly soft. Why did you miss a show?
Well, maybe it's what time the surgery was.
Why couldn't you just go after the show? They just like knife it off.
I don't know.
It's not like this complicated surgery.
Yeah, you're not staying over the knife for that. That's an in and out.
They take one of those little paleontologist knives and just kind of skim that thing off.
I'd like to hear from Lance on the why he missed the show.
Yeah.
Because it does come off as soft.
It's very soft. Do you have any other bats?
I hate seeing position players pitch.
I don't mind it.
I hate it.
Just Jake threw a scoreless inning.
He saved the bullpen.
I know. I hate it. I wish we could just end the game.
I've long had a throw in the towel rule.
Yeah, just like it's over. Like it's just, let's just end this thing.
Jake Myers was a great college pitcher.
I saw you tweet that. I did see that one.
Great college pitcher in Nebraska. I mean that sincerely.
How does he have a noodle arm then? The
he had a labrum. He had labrum surgery, Joe.
It doesn't come back ever.
For some people, it doesn't. And he probably didn't rehab it like a pitcher does either. You know, he probably didn't have a throwing program to get the shoulder back.
Sure,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like he probably wasn't sitting. And he also said the next day that he was trying not to throw that hard. Which it's like Jake, you don't have to try.
You don't throw that.
That's
you can't break glass
that's
anyways.
Your
yeah.
The only other one I had was the attempted steal, the throw from Yiner.
He got stepped on.
I know, but like.
How can you blame the guy when he got stepped on?
It was on my notes, too.
He missed it by 2
bases. It was
brutal. He got stepped on.
Catchers get stepped on. I don't know.
No, they don't. It should have been batter's interference.
Maybe.
The batter stepped on his foot as he was throwing. Whenever you have a quarterback and an offensive lineman steps on his foot and he throws an interception, do you blame it on the quarterback?
I feel like the quarterback's not as wide of the target as Yonder Diaz was.
A little more on target.
You kidding? There's times whenever quarterbacks get their foot stepped on by offensive linemen, it floats in the air.
I don't know. Like, he airmailed that thing to the right.
Because he got his foot stepped on.
Yeah. It's still on my bad.
You try to get your lead foot stepped on as you're throwing. Let's see how that turns out.
It's not in the ugly. It's in the bad.
Should have been batter's interference. Should have been an out. It ticked me off. Yiner's getting here like, I'm not a Yiner guy, but Yiner's getting ganged up on the internet, being on cyber bullied because of his throw to the outfield. He literally got his foot stepped on. Nobody wanted to say a peep. Felt bad for Yiner in that instance. Look at this bum. He got his foot stepped on. Of course he airmailed it.
Yeah, it just still wasn't great.
That annoyed me.
Clearly.
That annoyed me so much the other day. Look at Yiner. He's the worst thing ever. He got his foot stepped on. Yeah, it's going to be an errant throw. He got his foot stepped on. His foot got stepped on as he threw the baseball.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't say it was the worst thing ever, but it's still bad.
And Yonder Los Santos for me. He made that a sweat the other night.
He stinks.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that ball was gone off.
De Los Santos, Spanish for suck.
He stole my joke.
We're working together.
Flat out ripped my joke.
Yeah, he's straight up like,
no, yeah, I fully intended to do that.
Do you have any other
No, because De Los Santos was front and center on my bed.
I appreciate you doing that, Brian.
My joke.
I think a texter mentioned this already, but Jordan going 0 for the series. It is. I know it's Jordan, so I think this is what makes it funnier, but it's funny that the day that Jordan took off was his birthday.
Yeah.
Which, considering like his tendency to miss cities and not play like smoke or the bed or whatever, it's just funny that the day he took off was his birthday. So yeah, I found that pretty funny.
I tweeted out over the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Jordan rule number 91. He doesn't play on his birthday.
Doesn't play his birthday.
Doesn't play on his birthday. He did reach base twice, though, in this series. He walked twice.
Yeah, they had no interest in pitching to him at times. Yeah. We mentioned the Delgado era error. And then third and fourth inning, they had some chances to get some runs across yesterday. They didn't do it. Obviously, Jake striking out with the bases loaded. The previous inning of the third, Jake gets the double, advances on the wild pitch, and then they get nothing, even with base nobody out.
Paney didn't come through either.
No, it was back-to-back strikeouts, Delgado and JP3.
Yeah, it was gross. All right, but they won. They won. Series wins. They'll open up a series against the Twins. You know who's throwing out the first pitch ahead of tonight's game?
Cougars baseball coach.
University of Houston head baseball coach Will Davis, who is joining us next.
Will Davis.
University of Houston baseball coach Will Davis joins us when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Federal American Grill, it is so good. It is delicious. It's also your place to watch all of the soccer tournament. Federal American Grill's downtown location. They have live music starting every day at 5. Can't beat that. They have 7 100-inch TV screens for all your game viewing. Live stream of all the matches. You could be watching Germany-Paraguay right now. It is a $10 cover. You have to reserve your spot. You can reserve your spot at thefederalgrill.com for more information. You get a free souvenir cup, free welcome drink, food for purchase, reservations required, VIP experience available too, VIP. $85 a person, includes access to a private patio, private TVs, dedicated server for the VIP, free welcome cocktail, three-course prefix menu, free souvenir cup, and free Don Julio 1942 mini bottle. It is fantastic. Also, Federal American Grill, you know what they're doing for you this summer? They're extending their social hour, summer sunset social hour, 3 p.m. until sunset all summer long. You can drink until the sun goes down. You can drink after that, too, but you're not going to enjoy the sunset social hour specials. $10 appetizers, so good. Every bite there is delicious. $7 cocktails, wine, $5 beers, and this is available at all 6 of their Houston locations. Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, The Woodlands, Downtown, River Oaks as well. Thank you, Federal American Grill, for extending those hours. Get on over there to the summer sunset social hour and have yourself a great time. Great vibes over there at the Federal American Grill as well. Federal American Grill, exceptional food meets Southern hospitality.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
We go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the new baseball coach, University of Houston, Will Davis. Will, thank you for taking a few minutes. I know it's a busy day for you. Head over to the Astros game in a little bit. More pressure being a baseball player, having to throw a first pitch in a game. I'm sure you've done it a million times.
Well, so I actually threw the first pitch for the Astros game 2 years ago around this time when we won the Southland Conference at Lamar, and I threw it right down the middle. So I wanted to retire on that one, and now, you know, like the Godfather, they're pulling me back in. So
I have faith in you.
A lot of pressure for sure.
Yeah, I have faith in you. I think you'll get the job done. How are you getting acclimated to Houston? How are things going on that front?
You know, it's been a pretty smooth transition, obviously not being too far away and being over here all the time for recruiting and playing and all that good stuff. Fairly familiar with everything and the geography and the city and the makeup of the baseball landscape here. So it's been a pretty smooth transition so far.
What's it just been like for you? I mean, going, you know, trying to win a championship to then, you know, new job, transfer portal, everything. Just how chaotic has everything been for you through this transition?
The most chaotic part, obviously, was the time where I was the head coach, you know, named at Houston, but also trying to run the Lamar program as well. That was very chaotic because this is, once you get to this part, you have that singular focus of just trying to do things to move this program forward it became a lot easier. Whereas I was trying to do both and trying to do right by the Lamar guys as well, and then obviously try to win a regional and or at least a game in the regional or any of that good stuff, go as far as we could. So, you know, that part was hard. This part has been very busy, no doubt about it. Chaotic, I don't think would be the right word, but it's been fun.
Being joined by Will Davis, baseball coach at the University of Houston. How's it been building the roster? This day and age in college athletics, players enter, exit through the transfer portal left and right. Where does it stand as we talk here in late June?
Yeah, we need several more guys. I think we have 18 commitments from the transfer portal. I think as of right now, 4 to 6 players will return from the Houston roster from last year. And then a handful of guys that were in their signing class will show up as well. So it's the part that's been nice is just, when you build it's so many guys in the transfer portal, like when I took over at Lamar and we were recruiting, those kids weren't coming for another year or so. These guys will be here right away. So that part, it'll be nice that many of them came here for our coaching staff, So I think the transition from a cultural standpoint can be pretty quick. But obviously not having any foundation whatsoever from a returning player standpoint makes things a little bit more challenging. So that it had been nice to have, 10, 12 guys that we had coached that were here and all that good stuff, and we could build it that way. We're pretty, not completely from scratch, but very close to from scratch, starting this thing. So, that part has been the biggest challenge, just the amount of volume of players that we're having to sign for next year.
What's that been like, this transition for you as a coach in colleges? Because, now you've been doing this you're at Lamar for 10 years, now you're with Houston. But just you've seen the process kind of change of transfer portal didn't really exist, at least in the way it's in play now. What's that transition been like for the sport of baseball? Because we obviously focus so much on basketball and football and how it works in those sports.
Yeah, I think that, the biggest thing is, when I got to Lamar, we built it with high school players, and that took a long time. And then we immediately changed our recruiting philosophy. The very first year of the transfer portal being open, the one-time transfer, we lost our Friday night starter to the University of Oklahoma. And immediately we said, okay, well, if we're going to be losing our better players to SEC and Power Four schools, we certainly cannot replace them with a bunch of high school kids and be young every single year. And so we, started going after, lower mid-major top players on teams that maybe didn't have good years, and that strategy worked for us, and we won a lot in the last few years. So we were quick to adapt to it. I think here obviously you can do a little more of a blend of both, where you can recruit some younger guys, but I feel fortunate that I was able to have the experience with that transition in my last few years at Lamar, to where this has not been such a shock. Although this is the most volume I've ever had to do, at least I've been experienced with having to do it. So, I've been very lucky from that standpoint.
Will Davis, new head coach at University of Houston Baseball, joining us on the HR&P guest line. You're able to keep your pitching coach, Jace Hutchins, and your hitting coach as well. They come over with you, Scott Hatton. How important is that for you to just have that, steadiness within the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think, one thing, I'm a loyal guy, and I think, continuity is very key as well. And I underrated how much of a help that would be in this transition, because, last time I did this, I was pretty much going it alone in the beginning. And this time I had, 6 people helping me. So it has not been overwhelming from that standpoint, because I've had so many guys I was able to bring from Lamar that knew how we wanted to do things, knew how to work well with each other, which is a very underrated part of the coaching staff. And then we hired Taylor Dugas, and we're able to keep Mason Lucas, who I knew very well before. And it's all just kind of come together really, really nicely. And, we're all kind of, working in sync. And, had I had to hire a bunch of individual staff people and try to put them together, that would be another challenge in its own right. So, that part has been really good.
The University of Houston has some great coaches, Kelvin Sampson, Willie Fritz. Have you had much interaction with those two? And if you have, what kind of advice have they given you about, getting to this program and getting turned around?
They've both been great, man. And obviously, just being a sports fan, I've been a fan of both of theirs for a while. Willie being at Tulane, kind of in my backyard from being a Baton Rouge guy. pulled, you know, for him. And, you know, I'm like, I'm a career follower. I like to see a coach and then go to their, you know, Wikipedia page and see where all this is. But I remember watching Kelvin Sampson on Big Monday when I was a kid, you know, with Oklahoma. So I even, and I remember watching Kelvin Sampson play and, having been a coach, coach's son myself, like I was kind of rooted for those guys. So I thought it was really cool that he played for his dad and had a big role on those teams. But no, they've been great. Kelvin's actually helped him land a couple of recruits and meeting with them. And so he's been very helpful in our recruiting front. And then, you know, they've both been really good. I've spent some time with Willie and to meet some of the guys, taking me to meet some of the big donors and stuff. So he's gone out of this way. They've both gone really far out of their way to help me. So that's been great. And, you know, I think they both struggled their first year and, you know, they have a lot of experience with that and the transition and turning things around. And, you know, they've been very helpful so far. And I look forward to sitting down with them more and picking their brains so that we can make this as quick of a turnaround as possible.
Looking at coaches' Wikipedia pages is like half our job. So I like that you do that. We can relate.
Right with it. Yeah.
Well, we got a couple of messages from our listeners on YouTube. Will Davis, go Tigers, go Cardinals, go Cougs. Another junkie texting in, big fan of Will Davis. I'm an LSU fan. At least 5 miles from Lamar's campus. I hope he crushes it in Houston. What kind of fan support have you gotten from Houston fans so far? Just meeting, like you said, you mentioned some of the big donors. What has been the message you received from some of the Cougar faithful?
And it's been very positive. You know, obviously we're undefeated right now with me as the head coach. So, you know, I guess if there ever was a honeymoon phase, we're in it right now. But I think, you know, it's really cool to see just so many people. I mean, when you have a school as big as this, there's such a huge alumni base.
Yeah.
And that's another underrated part of the school. I mean, this is a much bigger university than even LSU. So if I'm not on the phone with a recruit, if it's between the hours of 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. and I'm in my car, I better be on the phone with either a recruit or either a former player or a donor or a fan or someone. It's kind of my rule. So I don't have time for podcasts right now unless it's really early in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's been good, man. And I look forward to meeting and talking with as many of the big donors, but also the fans who sit out in, you know, on the Berman right field. You know, I mean, I think they're all equally important. I think fundraising is equally as important as fundraising. And, you know, I look forward to doing that as much as possible here over the next, you know, year and then beyond to try to get as many people out to the games and make this an important thing again, because I know it's an important thing to a lot of people. And I want our players to feel that with the way the games are attended.
No time for podcasts, but I know you always have time for Jeremy and Joe right here, ESPN.
Of course, I'll set my watch. From now on, from 3:45, I'll clear my schedule.
Appreciate the time, Coach. I'm hoping for a strike tonight and can't wait to see what you have in store with this baseball program.
I appreciate that, guys. I'm just looking for something in between 50 Cent and George Bush.
Are you going to the mound? Are you going all the way to the mound, or you stop short?
As a former college baseball player, I feel like I have to go to the rubber, right?
Oh, okay. I'm always scared of messing with the pitcher's mound.
I guess I could use that as an excuse to not do it. But
you heard it here
I think
first.
I probably should just go out there.
All right, Coach. Best of luck. Excited for you again. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Will Davis, new head coach, University of Houston baseball program. I first heard of Will Davis 2014. He was a base coach for LSU. Alex Bregman on that team. He helped recruit Bregman to LSU.
Yeah, I saw at his press conference. He was asked about that and talked about, you know, having players like Bregman, holding them accountable. So he's got big shoes to fill just in terms of what the rest of the university is doing with Willie and Kelvin, and hopefully he can turn this program around quickly like they both have.
2014 Baton Rouge Regional won by University of Houston. I didn't want to mention that to him.
I didn't know that.
I didn't want to be offended.
Didn't know that. Yeah. World Series champion, I learned.
Yeah, Houston won the 14.
No,
he won at LSU.
Yeah,
as a player.
Yeah, 04.
Oh, and,
yeah.
And as a coach.
Okay.
I think he did it as both. I know he did as a coach.
I mean, LSU probably has so many of those titles, he probably did.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. They have a lot. All right, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be really good. Also, we'll get into Fred VanVleet's knee. This knee, oh boy. Also, what are the Rockets going to do in free agency? I'll get into that as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. If you're